We're holding the top of Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. And we learned yesterday about if a man says that my wife is not chayiv in yibum because I divorced her, so we discussed whether he's believed about that or not. On the one hand, he has a migri that he could divorce her even now. We talked about though that would we believe in Lamafreya, we wouldn't believe in Lamafreya to say that in the past he divorced her and that should have implications because that he doesn't have biyodei, etc. So the Gemara continues, Hahuda have a kashogi. There was a person who was going to be passing away soon. Now this was one of the cases. Like we discussed yesterday, we knew that he had brothers. We didn't know that he has any sons, so therefore his wife is going to need Yibum or Chalitza if something's not done. Omrulay, so they asked him, Itse Laman, who should your wife remarry to? Meaning, in other words, is she Chayev and Yibum, or can she marry whoever she wants? In other words, basically they're asking him, can you confirm that you have brothers and you don't have sons, and therefore that she'd be, chayiv and yibum, or maybe do you not have one or have the other, and mean that you would? And mean that she would be able to marry anybody she wants. Amalahu, so he answers them back, Kazio la kahana rabba. My wife would be suitable to marry a kohen gadol. Now, what does that mean? In other words, basically what he's saying is that she doesn't need Yibum. Now, the Rashbam points out, she can't very well be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, let alone a Kohen Hediot, because, after all, the idea why we're saying that we believe him is based on the idea that he could divorce her. Well, if he divorces her, she's a Grusha, she's married to a Kohen. So the Rashbam just says lav davka, like he doesn't mean literally that she's suitable to marry a kohen gadol. And the pashtus by this time this happened, there were no kohenim gadolim anymore because it was after the korban. But he just means it as a figure of speech. Tosfos discusses and says in some Gersois they say just Chazir Kahana, she's suitable to a Kohen, because look, forget about the matter of Grusha, and if her husband dies without divorcing her, she'd be an Amona, she still can't marry a Kohen Gadol. Then Tosfos says that no, what it means is it can mean from the point of view of the Dinim of Yibum, she would be able to marry a Kohen, even a Kohen Gadol. Obviously she wouldn't be able to because of a side reason, namely because she's a Grusha or Amona, as the case may be, but in other words, his figure of speech is not including that point. Then Tosfos also brings that was from the Ri. Then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Menachem, means that Bichlal, he doesn't mean that, fine, he takes out the word Rabba, he says, we're not talking about her getting married, we're talking about that she's a Bas Koyen, and she would be able to go back to her father's house to eat Truma, now he's saying, now that I've died, and I have no children, then she'd be able to go and do that, which would also imply, though, that he's saying that she's not a Shemeres Yavam, because a Shemeres Yavam is not able to do that either, to go eat Truma in her father's house. Then there's yet another explanation from Aben Hananel and a couple of other Rishonim that say that what he's saying is, to begin with, I was Mekadosher al Tanai, and therefore that I was Mekadosher al Tanai, and that Tanai wasn't fulfilled, and therefore we're not actually considered married. And therefore literally she could marry, maybe not a Kohen Gadol if she's not a Bsula, but at least she can marry a Kohen. So a number of Rishonim have difficulty with that explanation, because the fact is she has a chazaka that she's married. So the point is, one way or the other, he's saying in this exaggerated way of his, that she could conceivably even marry a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol, which means, in other words, that we're talking about that he's saying she's not chayiv in Yibum. So again, the Rashbam had said, we're talking about that we know that he has brothers, and the question is whether he has sons or not. Omar Rava Lamai Nechushla. So Rava says, okay, well then what concern should we have if we want to allow her to remarry, Rava, it says over here, her goes about changes to Rabba, what would we have to be concerned for? For Omar Rav Chiya, Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Yechanan, didn't we learn before that Rav Chiya Ba Abba said in the name of Rav Yechanan, Baal Shama Girashtias Ishti Naman, that if a husband says, I divorced my wife then we believe him because he has that nemonos, because he could divorce her now. Well, by the same token now over here, when he says, when he's saying she's suitable to a kohen, in other words, however we interpret what he's saying, the point is he's saying that he divorced her. Well, then that's exactly the same thing. He's not saying I have children. If he said I had children, we'd have a different migri that we learned yesterday, or actually the same migri that he could say that I divorced her, but he's not saying I have children. He's saying that she's suitable to a kohen, in other words, that I divorced her. So therefore he should have that nemonis. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says it's not so simple. V'hokti also Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't we also learn yesterday that when Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shama Gerashi Esishti Eina Neman, that if he says I divorced my wife, we don't believe him. So in this case also, maybe we can't believe him and maybe we can't allow her to remarry without Chalitza. Omale, so Rava answers, so why are you bothered by that? The Lavni Shaninu, didn't the Gemara give that answer? Kamla Mafreya v'kamla Haba, that there's a difference between talking about the past and about the future. Namely, we said, for example, we can't say that if he says I divorced her in the past, we can't accept that as far as, for example, that she should be potter from Missa if she was Mizana after that date, because supposedly he divorced her. But we said if he wants to say Labba, he's saying that I divorced her and from now on she shouldn't be Chayiv and Yibum or whatever, then we could believe him because the Yodai, because he has the ability to divorce her. So in other words, we haven't schlugged up what Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says. We're saying there's a scenario where we can accept that he does have that niggly. So Abaya answers back, Vashinuya Nekum Benismuch. So what do you want us to rely on an answer? In other words, yes, the Gemara has given an answer to Fa'enfer how they don't contradict each other. But is that answer indeed valid, and that's how it is that Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba and Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'Yosef are not in fact arguing, but rather they're talking about different parallel scenarios, Laba or Lamafreya or Laba. Maybe not. Maybe after all, the Amoraim really do argue what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Both Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, after all, are quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe in fact, at least according to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, he doesn't have that migri. Because the reason he wouldn't have that migri, Rashbam points out over here, as we touched on yesterday, because the problem with it is that migri is contradicted by the fact that there's no koil that he divorced her. Ordinarily, a get should involve a koil. Yes, you have an answer, but the answer is maybe not so airtight. So Rava says to Rav Nosson Ba'ami, you know what, in that case, then be concerned, it's true, you know what, Abaya has a valid point. So we're going to have to be concerned, and therefore, so she can't be allowed to remarry without Chalitza. She can't necessarily do Yibum, because what if he did divorce her, and as we learned way back in Yevamos a couple of years back, when it comes to Sfeikus with Yibum in general, you have to do Chalitza and not Yibum, because of the Suffolk. Rava accepts what Abaya's point, that there may actually be a machlokas amoraim over here, and therefore you have to be concerned about it and not allow her to remarry without dealing with the zika by doing chalitza. In fact, the Rashbam says, by the way, the expression shouldn't be chushla, it should be she is osir, but the reason why is because Rava had started the discussion by saying, "L'mayim nechushla, what should we be concerned about?" So now he finishes off by saying, "You know what? It's true. Actually, chushla, do be concerned about it." But it means, in other words, he's saying that she's also to remarry without having chalitza first. A Rabbeinu Gershom brings a second possibility that if fakert, Rava means with his chushla, he means that he doesn't mean be concerned about it, and she's not allowed to remarry without chalitza. Chushla can mean that no, we do we're concerned for. In other words, we take into consideration this answer in the words of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, according to that way of understanding, Rava is dismissing what Abaya is saying. You're saying it's only a shinuya, it's only an answer, and that's too weak a basis. Rava is saying, don't worry, be concerned about that, meaning take into consideration that answer and go ahead and allow her to remarry without chalitza. So in halacha it's understood in Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, it's understood the first way that she needs chalitza misafek. Another example, another case. There was a person who there was a chazaka that he didn't have brothers. So unlike in the previous case where we had a chazaka that he had brothers, and the question is whether he had sons and what are we going to do and what's his wife going to do, here there's no chazaka that he has brothers. And sure enough, before he passed away, he said that he doesn't have brothers. So therefore, no brothers and no yibum. So, Amar of Yosef, Lamai Leichoshla. So, Rabbi Yosef says, well, certainly, what should be the concern? There can't be any possibility that she is, in fact, Chayiv in Yibum. Chodah, the Muchzak Lon, the Lesley Achin. Number one, we have a Chazaka up until now that he doesn't have brothers. Now, the Rashbam points out, if we had a Chazaka that he had brothers, if he didn't have any chazaka one way or the other, if we didn't know whether he has brothers or not, and we know he doesn't have sons, then that suffolk alone would mean that she's also to remarry until we got that straightened out. But now we have an actual chazaka that he doesn't have any brothers. And he's saying right before he dies that he doesn't have any. So even though he doesn't have any sons, once he's saying I don't have any brothers, then he would be Neman. So even if he had a chazaka of having brothers, there would still be the migri that we said before, because he could give her a get. So the same thing over here. He doesn't have a chazaka that he has brothers at all, and he himself said he doesn't have. So what could be the potential problem? Obviously, his widow should be able to remarry. But Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, Ha'amri, but aren't there rumors going around? It's true he doesn't have a chazaka that he has brothers, but people of this city are saying, De'ika edim b'mdinasi yam diyadi, that there are edim in another country who do know that he has brothers. So how can we matter him when they're not saying directly in the city we can give Eidos that he has brothers, but they're saying we know of people far away who know that he has brothers. So we should be choshish for that. So Rabbi Yosef answers back. So still, what's the problem? Hashtamias, come on. The fact is, right now, those Edom are not in front of us. Yes, there's rumors that such Edom exists, but they're not actually here in front of us. So we're not going to pay attention to that kind of thing. And Rabbi Yosef says, Lav Heinergen of Chanina, because wouldn't this be exactly the same kind of situation as the din that Rabbi Chanina says? Namely, you have in Ksulas, the Gemara discusses in some detail over there the issue of a shvuya. You have a Jewish woman was captured by goyim, and there's a concern that she was raped. Unfortunately, we have things up until nowadays with that, with the hostages in Gaza. Hashem should have rachmanos on them. So you have the concern now: if her husband, would she be able to marry a Kohen, or if she was married to a Kohen, would they have to get divorced because she would be considered she would be also to a Kohen? So the Gemara deals with those dinim in detail over there in Ksuvos in the second parak. And you have a case over there where Shmuel's daughters were captured by goyim. So each one of them says, Nishbesiu Tahoran, that yes, I was captured by the Goyim, but I'm Tahor. So we say in that case, the Mishnah says over there, we can believe them because Apesha also Apesha hit it. We wouldn't have known that they were captured by the Goyim without them saying, and they themselves are saying that they're Tahor, and the Goyim didn't rape them. So now, so Rav Chanina says over there that's fine, they're mutter to marry Koyanim. And in fact, Rav Chanina says in the Gemara over there to one sort of Shaman Ba'aba, who was a relative of theirs, a cousin or whatever, he says, go marry one of them, and you yourself are a Koyan, demonstrate with that in fact they're mutter. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara asks over there, what do you mean? There do exist Edim that they were captured. So Rav Chanina answers back, what's the problem? Edim mitzad estan b'teoser. So what? If there are Edim up in the north, is that a reason to ask for them? No, we go according to the evidence that we have now. If those Edim come from the north, then we'll deal with it. Meanwhile, until they come, we don't have to be choshish for it. So now Rav Yosef says in the same thing over here. Yes, there's rumors going around the city that there are Edim that can testify that he has brothers, and the result would be that his wife is Chayev and Yibum, but those Edim are not here, and we don't have to worry about rumors that there may be Edim in other places. But Amalei Abaya, says that it doesn't really work, the comparison doesn't really work. Im hekalna b'shvuya, sure, we can be makel. When it comes to a shvuya, where we find there are many kolos in it, given that the whole concern of a shvuya is only derabanan. Daraisa, we would say, yes, we know she was captured by Goyim, but nevertheless, it's not necessarily so high a likelihood that they were raped. In fact, you even have an opinion of, Rav Joseph and Hokinas, I don't remember, Utaka is not concerned about that, but, in any case, the whole concern that she might have been is only Dirabanan Daraisa. She has a chazaka that she wasn't. So we find many kolos in it. We accept Edus Isha for it. We accept a woman can say that she wasn't violated, and she's mutter to a Koyan. You can have one aid. You have all kinds of other kolos that the Gemara mentions over there. So we can be makel by Shvuya. Now you have Mishum de Menavla Nafshal Agabe Shabai, because there's also a consideration why can be makel by a shvuya, because she tries to make herself as disgusting and unattractive as possible in order not to attract the attention of her captors. That's another reason to be makel. Now the words over here, de menavla nafshal agabish mishum de menavla nafshal agabish abai, are in parenthesis, and the Rashbam actually takes them out. He says that's not the reason. It has nothing to do with what she does in order to make herself unattractive. It has to do with that. It has to do with the fact that the issue of shvuya is only dirabban for a koyin is only dirabbanan. The chashash that she was raped is only dirabbanan, and therefore that we don't have to, and therefore we have reasons to be makel in it. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who do have that girsa, and in other parallel Gemaras, it's also found, and they explain that there were Edim, in other words, when we said, in Rav Chanina's case, there were Edim, Betzad Estan, there were Edim up in the north, that could say that she's also, it might not just mean Edim that say that she was kidnapped, it could be Edim that actually saw that she was raped. And nevertheless, we would say we would have reason to be makel, but we could be makel because, again, we have this consideration that menavla nafsha, she tries to make herself as unattractive as possible to make it less likely that her captors are going to do that. So we could keep that girsa and say that, that's another reason to be makel by a shvuya. But in any case, Abaya is saying that's fine by a shvuya. In other words, the point is that among the Rishonim, you have two different ways of understanding what the basis is for the kula by a shvuya. Is it because the whole concept of a shvuya is only derabanan? So therefore, even if we have reason, even if we've heard that there may be agents someplace else who can testify that she was captured, and then we don't have the hapesha, also hapesha hitu anymore, nevertheless, we would still say we're going to discount them until they show up. Or we would say, even if there were rumors that there were edim of actual tuma that she was actually violated by them, then still we're going to say that because menavla nafsha, because a shvuya tries to avoid the attentions of the captors, then therefore that's a reason to be makel. In any case, those kinds of things apply to a shvuya. Nakel be'eshes ish. Do you want us to be makel when it comes to an eshes ish? We're discussing whether the guy has brothers or not, and we have reason to suspect that there are edim who say that he does, and the result is that she's gonna be chayev in yibum or chalitza, and she can't just go and marry anybody. The Rashbam uses the expression that there's an isur chenek involved because there's an eshes ish. The Bach says on that, what do you mean an Isur Chenek? We're not talking about her as an Eishes Ish anymore. Her husband's gonna be dead one way or the other. We're talking about she's gonna be mutter from that point of view. The question is whether as a Yavama, whether she's able to remarry or whether she needs Yibum or Chalitza first. So the Bach says, fine, we don't actually mean literally that there's an Isur Chenek, but we mean, in other words, because she's not an Eishes Ish anymore, but it means, in other words, that it's something that comes as a result of her having had a chazaka of an Eishes Ish. So she had a chazaka of that. She was an Eishes Ish, and there would be Chenek for her committing Znus. So that prior chazaka is strong enough for us to consider, even now, that we should be machmir in this question of whether she's chayiv yibum or not. Gilly Nashas also, Rabbi Akiva Eger also asks the question and leaves it as an open question. The Bach lived before Rabbi Akiva Eger, but I guess it's possible Rabbi Akiva Eger may not have seen that note from the Bach. I think those notes from the Bach were first printed. I think they may have first been printed after Rabbi Akiva Eger passed away. So in that case, he may not have known of it. Whatever the case, there is that point that there is an issue over here involved. And therefore a stronger issue at any rate than the issue of Shvuya, and therefore we can't be so makel when we are over there, and we certainly don't have the menavla nafsha consideration, the consideration that she's going to try to make herself attractive. So again, Amale Rava Rav Nosson Ba'ami Chushla. So Rava says to Rav Nosson Ba'ami, you know what? We do have to be concerned about that, and it's true. We can't allow her to remarry without chalitza. Here also, chushla could mean, as Rabbi Negershim said before, it could mean that maybe we do, that maybe, it would mean be choshish, in other words, accept the possibility that answer is correct, that in fact we can draw a distinction, or that we're not going to draw a distinction, we're going to say the same kula that applies to a shvuya applies over here, and therefore that she would be able to marry without chalitza, and again, in the Sifrei Halacha and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it follows the first possibility that it means chushla. We do have to be concerned that after all, maybe because there are rumors that there are those edim, and we have to wait and see if the edim show up, then of course, then say that he has brothers, then of course she's going to need yibum or chalitza, and until then she shouldn't remarry until we can get the matter straightened out. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, Ze ochi einu neman. We had a situation where a person says, this is my brother. So in other words, again, the Rashbam had drawn out the situation. You have two brothers, let's say Reuven and Shimon, and now Reuven takes someone named Levi and says he's our brother as well. So we said Einan Neman, we don't believe Reuven to say that, but the Yitl Ima Bechelkai, but he has to, he gets with him a portion of what he inherited. So as we learned in the Mishnah, it means, in other words, Reuven and Shimon are splitting up the estate between them. Reuven is going to take a portion of his estate and give it to this Levi, who he claims is their brother. He doesn't have to give him an amount equal to what he would as a brother, because he can always say part of what you should be getting, actually you should be getting from Shimon, and you're going to have to bring a proof to Shimon because he doesn't believe you. But at any rate, Levi is going to get something. Then the Mishnah had said, Now, then the Mishnah had said that if Levi dies, then Reuven and Shimon, if Levi dies, then the property that he received from Reuven goes back to Reuven, and if he has any other nechassim that he got from someplace else, let's say an inheritance from someplace else, then his brothers yarshin with him, meaning both Reuven and Shimon. So let's work out what the situation is over here. So when we say Zeh Ochi Ein Neman, when one of them, when Reuven says this Levi is our brother, so the question is V'idach Ma'ika Amri. What are the other brothers, let's say Shimon in our example, what are they answering back? When Reuven comes and says, this Levi is our brother, what is Shimon claiming? E ka'amri achunahu, if Shimon agrees, you're right, he is our brother, then fine, ma yitl imim b'chelka v'tuloi, then why is he only getting a portion carved out of Reuven's portion? He should be getting an amount from both of them. We would say to continue the Rashbam scenario where there are three fields and two sons, where each of them stands to get a field and a half. Now that both Reuven and Shimon agree that Levi is their brother, each of them should be getting one field. So the same way as we would carve out part of Reuven's, we would take a half a field from Reuven and set it aside for Levi, we would do the same thing with Shimon. So that's not what the Mishnah says. So evidently the Mishnah must be talking about where Shimon denies it and says, no, this isn't our brother. So the question is, Ema Sefer, but look at the Sefer of the Mishnah, Naflo and the Chosim in Makam Acher, where the Mishnah continues that if Levi gets the Chosim from someplace else, for example, from a Yerusha, from a different relative, Yushu Echavimai, then his brothers Yarshin together with him. Meaning, in other words, if he got nechassim from someplace else, from somebody who's a relative of his, let's say, for example, from his wife, what we learned earlier in the parak, that a husband yarshins his wife, and now he himself dies, so we're saying that Reuven and Shimon split his, assuming he doesn't have any children, of course, then Reuven and Shimon split his property. So the question is, what do you mean? Why should Shimon get? Didn't Shimon say that he's not our brother? So that implicitly by that, Shimon is saying that I don't get any part of, that I don't get any part of his Yerusha. So why should Shimon, who all this time has been denying that Levi is his brother, why now should he be getting a chelik of his Yerusha? And again, we're not talking about again that they both agreed he is their brother. Then the first din of the Mishnah wouldn't work. And it can't be that they're both denying. It can't be that Shimon is denying, because then the second din of the Mishnah wouldn't work. So what's the scenario? So the Gemara answers Leitzricha, the Chiddush, the case that the Mishnah is telling us, de ka'amri einonu yodin. The other brother is Shimon in this example, say we don't know. So therefore, you, Levi, want a portion of the estate that I inherited from our father. Well, then bring a proof that you're in fact his son, and then I'll give you just like Reuven is giving you. But meanwhile, if he gets nechassim from someplace else, then the fact is Reuven is saying that he is their brother, and they're inheriting it on the koyach of that brother, that Reuven is saying, you know what, this Levi who just passed away was in fact our brother, and taking that evidence, that's good enough reason for Shimon to yarshin some of it as well. Well, the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Zoisei Meres, so Rava says, from this we can learn the following din. If Reuven says, not in a case of Yerusha, but a case of money that's owed, money li biyodcha, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a money, v'halo oimer eini yadea, and Shimon says, I don't know whether I owe you or not, so he's potter from paying. Now, in fact, there is machloikas about that in various places in Shas. We're at the end of Bava Kama, for example, or Rashbam brings, where you have Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he'd be chayv to pay, Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan say he's potter, and the halacha is in fact that he's potter. Rashbam points out a reason to say that he's potter, in fact, would be because look at the two Amiroyim who say that he's potter. One of them is Rav Yechanan, and the halacha is generally like Rav Yechanan over other individual Amiroyim. And you also have Rav Nachman, and the halacha is like Rav Nachman in Dinei Mamonos. So the fact is he would be potter. So Rava says now that you can prove from you can prove from our case over here that in fact he would be potter. So he would have, Rashbam points out, he would have to swear a Shavuos Hesses to say that he doesn't know, but the point is, in other words, here, Reuven is saying on behalf of Levi that you owe him money, because he's saying, in other words, that he's our brother and you owe him half a portion of your field, just like, oh, I owe him a portion of mine, and they're saying we don't know, and we're saying they're potter from paying because they have a chazaka on that moment. So we see, in the same vein, when a person says, you owe me a money, and the other one says, I don't know, that he would also be potter. So that's the rabba. Abaya says it's not necessarily. La'olam emaloch. As a matter of fact, I might tell you chayev that in general, maybe we would say he is chayev because you have a classic bari and shema. Reuven is saying you owe me a mana as tainas bari, and Shimon is saying I don't know, which is tainas shema. The shiny hocha, but here is different. Why don't we apply that to our case over here? The kamana la'acher b'yod chadami, because this is more the equivalent of saying that you owe a mana to somebody else. So in other words, the case that Rava is talking about, where Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda argue about, is where Reuven himself is saying, you owe me a mana. I have a tainus body on it. And Shimon says, I don't know whether I do. Here we're talking about where Reuven is saying you owe Levi a mana. So now you have after all, the one Levi himself is not coming with a tainus body. And Reuven, after all, he could say really that he could say, you know, I have no business with you. Lav baldzvorim didiyat, as the Gemara calls it in some places. You're not a baldin of mine. I don't have to deal with you at all. So the same way, in other words, so here Levi himself doesn't know whether he's their brother or not. Reuven is coming and saying on his behalf. So the brothers can say, therefore, that you're not our Baal Dvarim, and therefore we leave them with their chazaka. So Abaya says, therefore, you don't really have a proof from this case to the other cases of Monali Biyodcha, where Reuven is making the claim on his own behalf. Tosfos discusses a bit over here about various places in various places in Shas where we discuss this point of Bori Veshema, and then Tosfos says one thing is that even Abaya is saying over here that there are different degrees of body. Abaya is saying over here, there are different degrees of body. There's a difference between Reuven himself saying, you definitely owe me a mana, versus he's saying, you owe Levi, but Levi himself is not claiming on his behalf, as we said, so that would be a reason to draw a distinction between that and various other places in Shas. Usually we do say body, Veshema, body, Adif. So that explains the scenario of our Mishnah. So again, Reuven brings forth Levi and says, he's our brother. Levi himself is not making a claim on his own behalf. He himself maybe is not even sure. Shimon says, I don't know whether he is or not. So therefore, for Levi to get, so Reuven has to give something to Levi because he's the one saying that he owes him. So it's like, Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami. Shimon doesn't have to give him anything because I'm Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya. But if Levi dies, if Levi only has the nechosim that he got from Reuven, then when he dies, they go back to Reuven. Reuven's the one who gave them to him, so therefore Reuven's the one entitled to them back. But when it comes to other nechosim that he inherited from someplace else, such as his wife or whatever, then we would say that even though Shimon is saying, I don't know whether he was our brother, nevertheless he has the ability to yarshin a portion of those nechosim. Okay, so now let's talk about that last those further cases in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said mess that if this Suffolk brother dies, Yachzur Nechosim L'Makayman, then the Nechosim go back to where they came from, meaning the Nechosim that Reuven gave him out of his portion go back to him. And we said then if he gets nechosim from other places, then it gets split up among the brothers. So we're going to focus on that one. So boy rava shvach shvach shavchun nechosim me elehim. What about within that part, that within that part that Levi was given, what about Shvach, that where the value of it improved on its own? As the Gemara is going to give an example in a minute, the question is, who gets that extra value? The point is like this: b'shvach hamagil k'sefayim, where the shvach reaches the shoulders, which we'll explain in a second what that means. Lo tibori loch. Then there's no question. The kinnaflo and nechosim makom achadami. That would be the equivalent of nechosim that he got from someplace else, because what happens? Reuben had given him an empty field. He himself worked hard and improved it, and now you have shvach hamagil k'sefayim in it. So therefore, so we wouldn't say that Reuben himself gets it exclusively. It would get split between Reuben and Shimon. What is shvach hamagil k'sefayim? So in a few places in Shas, there's different explanations of what that means. So the Rashbam explains that shvach hamagil k'sefayim literally means shvach that reaches the shoulders, meaning in other words where he put in his shoulders and he put an effort into making that shvach happen. Rashi elsewhere, in other places in Shas, Rashi says, and the Rashbam himself actually says, earlier in the Masechta, that Shvach HaMagil HaKsefayim means where it's almost ready to be harvested. It's pretty much ready to be picked up on the shoulders and harvested and carried out of there. And so Tosfos in the Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses proofs for one way or the other, because the Gemara over here is going to bring an example of Shvach HaMagil HaKsefayim. It's going to bring an example, for example, of a tree that became fatter, or something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago as well. So you see, in other words, it's not a matter of distinguishing between whether it's ready to be harvested or not, but rather whether he put an effort to make a tree fatter. Doesn't require his effort to harvest the grain, to plow and plant and so forth, does. And then Tosfos over there goes on to say that Adrabah, from our sugya, you could say the other way around. If Shvach HaMagil HaKsefayim means something that comes on its own, or Einu Magil HaKsefayim means that comes by itself, then why is the Gemara first calling it Shavchu Nechosim Me'Elehem, and then switching to Shvach HaMagil HaKsefayim? So earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos discusses and says that the correct explanation would rather be that Magil HaKsefayim means, as Rashi says elsewhere, and as Rashbam himself also says elsewhere, that it means it's ready to be harvested. So that's the question. So again, if you have shvach hamagil k'sefayim, whichever of these two definitions you give to it, whether it means that he put in effort into it, or whether it means that, that it's ready to be harvested, either way, lo tiboy lach, there'd be no question that we would divide it among all the brothers, because here, for example, Reuben gave him an empty field, and now we have Shvach HaMagil HaKsefayim in it. There's no reason why Reuben exclusively should get it. Kiti Baruch, the question would be, Shvach She'eni Magil HaKsefayim, what about when the improvement in the value is not Magil HaKsefayim? It's not something that he put in effort, according to Rashbam here, or it's not something that's ready to be harvested, like the Rashbam says elsewhere, and like Rashi says. For example, we had examples of this earlier in our Masechta. For example, you have earlier in our Perek, actually, we had an example, a tree that became fatter. It's worth more, but it's still the same tree, and the shvach in it is not something that he put in effort for. Or Arav Aska Shirtan, or you have land that was flooded and now is full of good topsoil. Now it's much better fertilized. What would be the din? Would we say that once the nechosim go back to the brother who gave it to Levi, to Reuven who gave it to Levi, then automatically he gets that kind of shvach with it as well, exclusively, or maybe not, because he didn't give it to him with that, so it's considered like nechosim and makom achar, and the Gemara says teiku. So we can't be sure, and the result is, again, we'd say amotzi mechaver l'raya. So in other words, in short, what it would be is once Reuven is entitled, there's no question Reuven is entitled to the goof of the field. So the result would be that he ends up being able to get that. He ends up being able to get that shvach as well, because if Shimon wants to take that shvach away from him, he would have to demonstrate that he is in fact entitled to it. And he can't do that because the Gemara has left it as a suffix over here. So therefore, the result is that Reuven ends up getting the shvach as well. The Mishnah says. So that is how it's brought in halacha. That's in that case. Yeah, Reuven gets it as well. Mishnah says, Misha Mess, a person passed away, the nimsa's diatiki kshura al yurechai. You find a diatiki, which means a will, a star laying out what he wanted to do as a shimra. You find this star tied to his leg. Meaning, in other words, and the chiddush is, Mela, if you just found it among his papers, you could say somebody put it over there. But if he found it tied to his leg, it's a very strong supposition that he himself wrote it and prepared it and just didn't have a chance to give it yet. Nevertheless, it doesn't count for anything, because even if somebody else takes that shtar after the shchivmarah dies, then we wouldn't say it takes effect, and the one whom the matana is given to is koina, because the Rashbam explains, sure, we know that divrei shchivmarah are very strong. What a shchivmarah says is very strong, and it takes effect la'achamisa. But that would be the reason behind why the Chachamim made the will of a shchivmarah so strong is shaloti torif daite olav, because the Chacham didn't want that he's going to get very agitated, thinking, here I'm giving instructions for what should happen after I die, and nobody's paying attention to me. So therefore, the Chachamim made his tzavah very strong. But here, wouldn't the shtar itself doesn't have such a koyach? The fact is, for the shtar to be effective, he'd have to give it to somebody, and he didn't. So the result is that shtar doesn't actually take effect. Now there is a machloikas a rishonim. What is the nature of what's written in the shtar over here? Is there a kinyan in the shtar? So does the shtar say, in other words, that they had previously done a kinyan? Rashi elsewhere explains that we're talking about where there was no kinyan in it. So therefore, it can't be chal until it reaches the person who is supposed to receive it. But if it says in it that there was a kinyan, then it would in fact be effective. On the other hand, the Rif holds, even if there's no kinyan in it, we would still say that it still has to reach the recipient. Continues the Mishnah. Zika bola acher, if the shchivra was mezaka to another person in it, which means that Rashbam says that it means that he writes in it that he says he's saying Reuven should get his nechosim, and he gives the shtar to Shimon and saying that whatever it says in this shtar, I'm going to be machne it to you. So that's the equivalent. So it's no worse than him saying verbally. So even though it's la'acha, even though maybe the shtar says, so the shtar says it, and I'm giving the nechosim to Reuven. Now he's handing it to Shimon and saying, you know what, I want you to be koina whatever it says in here. Then whether Shimon is one of the Yoshim, for example, his son among other sons, or whether he's not one of the Yoshim, for example, as we've learned earlier in the Perek, for example, it's a daughter where there are sons. Or things like that, then either way, dvarav kayomin, then what he said is valid, because, then he's koina with that, and he's koina la'achamisa, even though ein roi liyoshe, because again, here we have the concept divish shchivmara, tiksuvin v'chemesurin damu, that what a shchivmara says is considered as though it's written and signed, and there's it's written and given over, and therefore that's that. He said that what it says in the shtar to give to Reuven, I'm in fact giving to you, Shimon, so therefore, so that takes effect.
So if royally Yosha, then we learned earlier in the parak, we have anyway, we have Rabbi Yechim and Berikah's din that he could yashin him. But here we're talking about, even if he's not, even if it's somebody, ain't royally Yosha, but he's doing a matana, and as we've learned earlier in the parak, with a matana, he's able to override things. Now that's one explanation of, this zikah boil acher. There is a different explanation among Rishonim of this phrase zikah, of this phrase zikah boil acher. So another explanation, the Rimi Gash says that what it means is he's telling Shimon, I want you to do mitzad zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav, I want you to acquire what's in the shtar on behalf of Reuven. So that would also work, because again, zochen la'adam shalai b'fanav. And then there's an explanation that Ritva brings from the Ra'ah, a third possibility, that what it means is that he gave it over to somebody because he's saying, I want it to be publicized. I want you to go and show it to other people. So not like the Rimigash is saying to actually be koined on their behalf, but I want you to show it to people and show that it's valid, and that way it shows that he's standing behind it. So in other words, if it was just found tied to his leg, like in the ratio of the Mishnah, then we would say maybe he changed his mind and decided not to give it after all. But here where he's actually giving it to somebody, his wife, his Eved, whoever, and says, I want you to publicize it, then that would be reason enough to say that it means that he wants to stand behind it. So there are those three different explanations of what this phrase in the Mishnah, zikah boil acher, means. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Ezehi Diatiki, what is the definition of Diatiki, where that's considered a matnas shchiv merah? Now, the point is, in other words, if a person wants to give a matana and it should take effect right away, usually he would write in there mehayoyim, it should take effect as of today. A matnas shchiv merah doesn't have to have the word mehayoyim in it. So how does it work as a matnas shchiv merah? Where it says in the shtar, this should stand and this should be. In fact, the word diatiki comes from an abbreviation of that phrase, da tehe lemekam. Other mafoshim point out actually that the word diatiki itself actually comes from a Greek word that means a will. But the Chachamim will often do that. The Chachamim will often take a word from a different language and redarshan it as though it was an abbreviation or something of a Hebrew or Aramaic phrase. And here, this is an example of that. Do we mean actually that it has to say those words in the, that it has to actually say those words in the shtar? So not necessarily. The Ran says just means the definition of a diatiki is something that it means that it's a kind of shtar that takes effect as soon as he dies. The Ramban actually brings from a Tosefta that says they would actually write that loshen in the shtar because it has a double meaning. Dota hele mekam belius doesn't just mean that this matter that's in the shtar should remain this way. It also means dota hele mekam. It's also saying this person will get up, will recover. Velichios and live. So in other words, so the shtar is saying the Ezras Hashem, this guy will recover and get out of bed and live and not be a shchivman anymore. But if not, then here's the disposition of it. So they would write it in the shtar that way for a simen toiv. Anyway, that's the definition of a diatiki, which we're saying in the Mishnah. Again, if you found it, even if you found it tied to his leg, then it's not valid. But if zikah bala acher, according to any of the three definitions that we said, then it would work. The Ezohi Matana, what is the definition of a Matana, meaning a Matnas Bori, which also takes effect only when he dies, is Kol Shekoseba Mehayoyim L'Acha Misa, where it says in the Shtar that it takes effect as of today and after Misa. If it didn't say Mehayoyim, it wouldn't work because he doesn't have the ability to be Matnas, he doesn't have the ability to accomplish something that's going to happen after he dies. He's dead and buried, so therefore it has to say in it the word Mehayoyim. And in effect, what it means is, by saying Mehayoyim, it means the other person acquires right away. The payrus he's not entitled to until the giver of the matana dies, as we have this kind of scenario throughout Shas. So Tosfos discusses that. So the Rashbam is saying that in that case he wouldn't be able to change his mind on it. Actually, let's learn the Gemara further. Then we'll talk about what Tosfos says. Anyway. So Matnas Bori says now Yom Malacha Misa. So they want to ask Elam Yom Malacha Misa or Dehavi Matana May Achshel Dehavi Matana. What are you saying? That only if it says Ma Yom Malacha Misa is it a valid Matana? But if you were saying Ma Achshel, it just takes effect as of now. It wouldn't be a valid Matana. Of course it would. On the face of it, it would mean that he's giving both the Guf and the Peiris right now. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says you're right. It doesn't mean that. Hochi Kama, what the Braisa means is Ezehi Matnas Bori Shehik Matnas Shchivra. When do you have a Matnas Bori which is like a Matnas Shchivra in the sense like Koni Elul Achamisa that it takes effect only after he dies is Kol Shekostu B'Mahayom El Achamisa. Only if it says in it this phrase Mahayom El Achamisa. Because, so in other words, if he weren't to say that, if he just said La'acha Misa, it wouldn't be able to be effective at all, because how could it take effect after he dies when he doesn't have the ability to do that disposition anymore? If he said Mehayoyim, it would just take effect as of now, at Guf and Peiris. The only way to make it that there's a difference between Guf and Peiris, and that the Peiris should be only after he dies, is by saying Hayoyim La'acha Misa. The Rashbam also points out that the point is also, that there still is a difference. A matnas shchivra, the Gemara is going to explain. We're going to learn as we go through the rest of this perek and into the next perek. We're going to talk about that a matnas shchivra, he's able to change his mind. If he ends up recovering, he wrote out this will, gave these instructions because he thought he was going to die. Now it turns out he recovered, so he can undo all of that matana. As opposed to a matnas bori, you don't have that concept. He can't do that because he wasn't doing it expecting that he's going to die soon. He was just doing it as a matnas bori. So when we say that it's like a matnas shchivra, we don't mean across the board. There still is going to be that difference of whether he can change his mind or not. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses and says maybe not actually. Me'ayom al achamisa means Rabbi Natan says it can mean that it'll take effect as of today only if I don't change my mind until I die. So in effect, he's leaving himself open. He's leaving himself the opening to go and change his mind. In that case, he would be able to do that. He would be able to exercise that part of it and to change his mind. So when the Rashbam says over here that he wouldn't be able to do a matana just la'acha misa as a bori because he's no longer living at that time and therefore his matana can't have an effect, there is actually some discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about that, whether that is the reason or whether there are other reasons, but in any case there is that point. So a matnas shchivra is going to take effect after he dies. A matnas bori, there can be different kinds. There can be where he wants it to take effect right away, and then he would just make mehayorim or me'achshav. There could be where he wants it to take effect when he dies exclusively, and there's no way for him to do that as a bori. And then you can have where he wants it to take effect partially now and fully later on after Misa, and then he would say Mehayom Malacha Misa, and that means Guf now, Peiris later. And as Tosfos points out, also he would have so. And then as the Rashbam says, he wouldn't be able to change his mind. Although as Tosfos says, there might be where he's leaving himself the option to change his mind. So that's the distinction between the different kinds of matanis. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rabba Bar Avuna Bach Sadra de Beirab. Rabba Bar Avuna was sitting in the foyer, in the entryway of the yeshiva, of the Bes Medrash. The Yosef Bekomam Shmeid Rabbi Yechanan, he was sitting and saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Shchivmera Shalma Kisvu Tnu Mona Laploini. If a Shchivmera says, write a document and give a mona to Ploini, Omes, and then he dies, after giving those instructions, in Kosvin Menosin, we cannot at that point write a shtar and give him that. What happened to Divrei Shchivra Diksuvin Vechimasurin? The reason is Shemolei Gomelak Noseh Ela B'Shtar, because he may have only meant he may have only meant to fully be makna to him only when he receives the shtar, and now the ein shtar la'achamisa, and the shtar is not able to be effective after he dies because a mess is not able to be makna. So in other words, if he had just said, give him money to Pliny, then yeah, we would say. But now when he says Kisvu, Tznu, or the Rashbam points out, it would also be the same as if he said Tznu v'Kisvu, give it to him and write it. Either way, the point is he wants a shtar to be involved, and therefore, and the shtar can't take effect la'achamisa. Omuluru Rabbi Elazar is the Haruba. So Rabbi Elazar says to the other Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, do be careful with this halacha. That is in fact the halacha that you shouldn't just think that Rabbi Bar Avuna is saying, and maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't actually say that or whatever. No, you should take that and be careful about that. Be aware that that's the halacha. On the other hand, Rav Shizbi Omer, but Rav Shizbi says, I agree with the din itself, but it's the other way around. Rav Elazar Omer, it's Rav Elazar who had originally said the din, but Omer Rav Yochanan is the Harubah. And it's Rav Yochanan telling the Chachme Beis HaMedrash to be careful and to be aware that this is the halacha. So either way, in other words, it is an established halacha, but the question is who first said it and who's backing it up. So the Gemara points out, Omer Rav Nachmeis, Kavaseid Rav Shizbi Mistabra. It's more logical, Rav Shizbi's version. Why? Iyam b'shleimer Rabbi Elazar Amra, because if you say that Rabbi Elazar, who was the Talmud, who first says it, then we understand. It's the Rabbi Yochanan, l'ashudi alei de Rabbi Elazar. Because then Rabbi Yochanan needs to testify and tell us, you should know that even though Rabbi Elazar is only my Talmud, nevertheless, you should still take what he's saying as given. Elo Yamat Rabbi Yochanan Amra, but if you're telling me Rabbi Yochanan said it originally, it's Rabbi Elazar l'asude alei de Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Do we need Rabbi Elazar to tell the Talmidim be careful with what Rabbi Yochanan says? Of course, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan; he's his Rebbe. V'oid, furthermore, Toshmad Rabbi Elazar Amra, we can prove in a different way that Rabbi Elazar is originally the one who said this din. The Sholach Rovin Mishmei de Rabba Bohu, Rovin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel in the name of Rabba Bohu, Chevu Yoidim, you should know, Shesholach Rabba Lozer Legoyla, Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabba Lozer sent a message to the Goyla, to Bavel, in the name of Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, that that if a Shchivmerah says, write and then write a document and give a money to Pliny, and then he died, ain't kosim noisim. We can't write and we can't give that shtar, shemele gomalach noisei ala b'shtar, because he may have only been meant to be makna to him with the shtar, v'ain shtar la'achamisa, So Ruvin sent that message in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Meanwhile, he also says, "Rabbi Yochanan Omer ti bodek." Rabbi Yochanan says that it's not actually an absolute statement like that, but rather ti bodek. He's clarifying. He's saying we have to clarify. We have to find out. We have to find out why the Shchiv would not mention the shtar. It could happen, for example, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that you could have where he's saying a shtar not because he wants it only to take effect with the shtar, but rather because he wants to strengthen the position of the Makabel that he should have a shtar in his hands that he actually received it. So we see that Rabbi Elazar is the one who so Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing with Rabbi Elazar. He's clarifying what he's saying, but nevertheless, we still see from that that Rabbi Elazar is first the one who said it, and then Rabbi Yochanan is backing him up and saying, but you should realize that it's not always 100% the rule like that. There are exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara brings further. So the Gemara says, "My tibodik." What does Rabbi Yochanan mean that we investigate? What do we need to investigate exactly? So the Gemara says, "Ki osir of Dimi." When Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he says like this: "Diatiki mevatelas diatiki." One will can be mevatel another one. So in other words, if the Shchiv Merah writes out a document that says, I want my Nechostim to go to Reuven, and later on he changes his mind and writes a different one that says it goes to Shimon, then Shimon is going to be koneh because the Shchiv Merah is always able to change his mind. The whole point is, a matna Shchiv Merah, he's able to change his mind, so now also he's able to change his mind and to give it to somebody else. What about Shchivman Hashem Akisru with new money to Pliny? What about if he says, write a document and give a money to Pliny? Royan, we have to see. Im kimi yapes koichai, if he's saying it in a way where he's saying, I want to make his koyach stronger, I want the makabel to have a proof that he received this matana. So he's not saying I want the shtar in order to delay that he doesn't get the matana until the shtar comes to him, but rather fakir, that he's doing it in order to strengthen his position. So Koisvin, then we could write that shtar and we could give it to him vim lav. But if not in Koisvin, then we don't write it because he may have meant that he wants it to take effect only through the shtar and in shtar achamisa. So the Gemara says, "Must Rav Abba Mamemel." So Rav Abba Mamemel says, "What do you mean?" We said, "Brisa says, Bori Shama Kislu with Numan Laplani your mess." If a healthy person says, "Write a document and give a money to Plani," and then he dies, ain't Kosevin Renoisin, then we don't write the document and give it because the Shtar can't take effect. Lachamisa Hosh Shivmanah Kosevin Renoisin. Now the fact that the Brisa says a Bori, you can't do that, implies that a Shivmanah you could against Rav Elazar, who says that you can. So the Gemara says, "Who moistiv lo, who mafarik lo, b'miyapes koichei." So Rav Abba Bamemel, who asked the question, also answered that the Braisa is talking about the case miyapes koichei, where he wants the matona to take effect right away. But he's saying, "I want there to be a shtar, so that he'll be able to prove later on that in fact he received this, this asset." So therefore, by a body, it wouldn't work because dibur is not enough. You need a shtar, and the purpose of the shtar is not for the kinyan itself, but only for a proof. So therefore, so it's an effect. He's a body saying, and words don't mean much, as opposed to a shtimana, dibur shtimana, ksuvan v'chimasurin, and therefore, the shtar is not meant to be the vehicle for the kinyan, but just a proof, and that's fine. He can do that, and it can take effect la'achamisa. So the Gemara says, "Heifi dami miyapes koichei." What exactly do we mean? How do we see that? Where do we see that it's miyapes koichei? In what scenario is it that it's improving his position? So the answer is, "Kedomer abchanina v'kaneina minei." Mosif amat nasada. You have a different case in the next parak where you're going to have. Where if Chista describes a case involving a shtar of shivna, where it says that there's a kinyan in it, if it says we made a kinyan mosif amat nasada as an addition, as a strengthening of this matana, so then it doesn't mean that he wants the shtar itself to be the vehicle for the kinyan. It means there was a kinyan in order to strengthen what he's saying in the shtar. So the same thing. Chochanami d'omer as kisvu v'chaseimu v'hovolei. So here we're talking about. He says. Also write it and sign it and give it to him. So he's making it clear that it's not just that the matana itself should depend on the shtar. It's rather he's saying, give him the matana. That's divish shtimana. But in addition, I want him to have a proof for the future. I want him to have a proof for the future that he in fact received this matana. So my yoshin don't come and protest or whatever. So then in the same thing. So that would be the yapas es koichai. And then we're saying that the shtar itself is not the method through which the kinyan is taking place. And therefore it can work. So that would be miyapes koichai, and in that case the shtar is fine and you can give it to him and you can give it to him even lachamisa. Now the Rashbam points out that this, again, if you say tnuva kisru, you say give it to him and write, you shouldn't think that means that the shtar is meant to make it any stronger. It actually means that you would have to say, like the Loshan that it says over here, af kis af ksuva v'chasimu. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees with that and says that no, if he says tnuva kisru, then it means give it to him and in addition write, then it means that the writing is also in order to strengthen his position. So the Gemara finishes off. Itmar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. They said Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel halacha koisvin unoisin. The halacha is in fact that if he says it leyapas as koichei in order to improve his position, then you do write the shtar and you do give it to him even after the shtivrenah dies. So in other words, when Rabbi Yochanan said tibodik, then it means, as we said, we have to figure out what exactly the shtivrenah meant to write the shtar. Did he mean for it to be used as a method for the kinyan, or did he mean it just to strengthen the guy's position? V'chein omer rova omer nachman halacha koisim and noisin, and that's the halacha. So that where he's saying l'yapas es koicha, then we can do it even after the guy passes away, as opposed to if he doesn't do that, then we say ein shtar la'achamisa, and therefore it would only work if he wants it to be done, only if he says it verbally, because then the words of a shtivrenah are in effect, and otherwise you would have to have, if there's going to be a shtar, it has to be given when the shtivrenah is still alive, like we said in the Mishnah.